Bruce, there he goes, as the Vancouver Canucks have replaced Bruce Boudreau with Rick Tocchet. We will talk about that and much more on today's episode of Locked On NHL.
Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to Locked On NHL Western Conference Tuesdays. I am Brett Holden from Locked On Oilers, and I am joined by the faceless, and at least if you're watching this, he will have a photo on him, but at least a moveless Dane Lewis from the Locked On Stars. Dane, how's it going today?
I'm doing well. Besides my webcam deciding to not function properly today, we're doing great here.
Hey, that's all you can ask for. Doing great, and you get to be in the dark today. I think that's probably a good thing. I don't know. Either way, a lot to talk about today and a lot to talk about specifically out of Vancouver. The Vancouver Canucks have officially fired Bruce Boudreau and has replaced him with Rick Tocchet. That'll take up the first two blocks of today's episode because there's so much to get to with one of the weirdest coaching situations we've potentially ever seen. So we will talk about that in just a second. But also on today's episode, we will wrap up with a little bit of trade talk as the deadline comes oh so closer and the West battle is going to be intense. Who is going to be moving and who will make the West better? We will talk about that later on today's episode of Locked On NHL. Thank you so much for making Locked On NHL your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you find your podcast. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more by visiting FanDuel.com/LockedOn today. To get started, Dane, over the weekend, the Vancouver Canucks officially came to the decision, wink, wink, nod, nod, to let go of Bruce Boudreau in Vancouver and replace him with Rick Tocchet. Let's start off on the Bruce Boudreau side before we move on to Rick Tocchet. Dane, what is your whole take with how the Vancouver Canucks dealt and treated Bruce Boudreau over these last basically few months since the start of the season?
I think it's a testament to, you know, just the state of that franchise, Vancouver, over, you know, the past X amount of seasons. I know they've made the playoffs in the bubble, but I think they haven't been since, you know, 2015 in a quote unquote normal season. And Bruce Boudreau, I mean, this time last year, he was a hero in Vancouver. He comes in as kind of the interim guy. And then, you know, he does well enough to keep Vancouver competitive up until, you know, the last week or two of the season. He almost gets the Canucks to the playoffs after a rough start to the season last year. They announced that they're going to bring him back. They're bringing back JT Miller, Elias Pettersson, Brock Besser, you know, but I mean, they have a good team. We saw the talent on display last season. And even with the bumps in the road and the, you know, all the personalities in the locker room, I feel like Boudreau was doing all he could and never really pointed fingers, at least from anything I saw. And I just feel like it's a complete mismanagement by the front office. And I think that that's just been a trend over the past few years. And I know we'll talk about Rick Tocchet in a second, but I just don't understand why anyone would be, you know, chomping at the bit to go coach in this situation, because it doesn't seem like a very coach-friendly environment at the moment.
Well, that's what I was kind of going to say as well. First of all, who would want to go into a situation like that? I guess with Rick Tocchet and Alvin as well, they do have a little bit of a relationship beforehand. But how could you want to go into that situation when a guy like Bruce Boudreau, who is one of a very decorated coach in the NHL, we can get to those in a little bit as well, but how can you sit there and for a coach that brought you basically out of the gallows last season? The Vancouver Canucks were nowhere near the playoffs when Bruce Boudreau came in. And then he kind of came and gave the Vancouver Canucks a little bit of a hope near the end of the season. It was between them and the Vegas Golden Knights and Los Angeles. It was a really tight battle in the Pacific down the stretch. And like you said, Bruce Boudreau was like almost a cult hero in Vancouver at the time because of how he was able to turn this team around. And now they start the season, and like Boudreau said, he thought he was going to get fired from basically October 8th. Like, is this the weirdest situation you've ever seen in coaching in sports in general? Like, we've seen some pretty weird things, but this has just been, you've said mismanagement. I that could potentially be an understatement.
Yeah, I think that's putting it nicely to what, you know, the front office and that staff has done with Boudreau, especially, I mean, given that the team really seemed to like him. I know there were stories coming out of, you know, a lot of the other coaches and players after, you know, his last game as the coach, coming by his office, shaking his hand, you know, saying thank you for all that he had done, because I think he was doing pretty well given the hand that he was dealt, almost getting the team to the playoffs, having them playing meaningful games down the stretch last year, doing everything he could to keep them afloat this season with, you know, some guys underperforming and then guys not taking accountability for their lack of performance. And I mean, it's not an easy season to be in Vancouver, especially given the expectations, and the roster really hasn't delivered this year. And it just doesn't seem like the, you know, like the best place to be. It seems a little bit toxic at the moment. And I think credit to the fan base for recognizing that not everything was Bruce Boudreau's fault, showing the support for him. You know, the chanting his name, the Bruce, there it is chance. I think that was a good move by them to, you know, show that their frustration isn't with him. It's with the front office, which is where I think, you know, the problems begin. And if real change is going to be made in Vancouver, I feel like something has to be done there in order for this team to truly get back on track.
In 1,087 games behind the bench for Bruce Boudreau, 617 wins, 342 losses, 128 coming by way of overtime or shootout. And honestly, he's been in the league long enough. It's almost ties were almost a part of his record. They aren't, but they were almost. But you mentioned the fans, and I think that's a really good point to get to, is that quite often there's situations like this when a team is really bad, like the Vancouver Canucks. And yes, they have the scoring and the defense may not necessarily be there, but they've been bad, and they've been bad for a little while now. Normally, when you see situations like this, it's not ever the fans not on the coach. This situation is completely different, to the point where after the game against the Edmonton Oilers, I'm sitting there with tears in my eyes going, this is incredible. Like, this is a fan base who cares about their team so much that they're able to realize that, like you said, it's not Bruce's fault. But whose fault is it, Dane?
I think several people probably in the front office, I'm sure. It's not just ownership. It's probably just a lack of support from the people up top. And again, I think you look at the history of the Vancouver Canucks coaching, and you look at now that they're going to be paying three different men for one role, and only one of them is filling that role. And Rick Tocchet, they're still paying Travis Green his money from his contract. Bruce Boudreau is going to get paid through this season. And so, I mean, I don't really know exactly where you point the finger or who the finger gets pointed at, but I obviously think that coaching isn't the issue. Is the coaching perfect on any team in the NHL? No, it's not. There's going to be shortcomings and mistakes, but it almost just seems like there's an impatience with the front office of they'll pick a coach and then they don't like how things go immediately, or there's a rough start, and then they move on to the next guy, and it's just rinse and repeat over and over, and they're not really getting any change because they're not letting, you know, a guy finish out what he started. I mean, it takes a little bit of time for some coaches, especially with the group like Vancouver, who, you know, hasn't really been in a rebuild, but hasn't been a competitive contending team, trying to put the pieces together, draft the prospects you want, make the trades you want, and things of that nature. And so I really feel like no coach has been able to get settled in long term. I mean, Travis Green only coached 314 games. Bruce Boudreau's only coached 103 games in Vancouver. So that's not a ton of time. Green certainly had more time than Boudreau, but it just seems like, you know, coaches recently haven't been getting a fair shake in Vancouver.
And I think that's a really good point, too. I know a lot of the talk, especially at the start of the season, was, okay, well, you're not going to fire Boudreau because you're already on record, I guess, for paying Green for however long he is on his contract for. You're not going to then basically have two coaches or pay two coaches that aren't coaching your team. I understand that in theory, I guess. But, and there's a big but here, there's a sense of humanity. You know, you see the Bruce Boudreau press conference just before the two-game stretch before he was fired. This interview happened on the Friday where he left the press conference in tears. That doesn't really happen, especially for a coach. And especially when, I mean, you kind of know what's coming, but you just don't see that. You have to see the human past the NHL or the hockey, I guess, kind of sphere in this. But then now you're starting to hear things, and I don't know if this is true, but you see and hear a bunch of things going, oh, well, if the Canucks wanted to hire or were talking about hiring Tocchet, well, now Tocchet, because he does have his TV job, I believe with TNT, if I'm not mistaken, he has to give a 5-week notice to the network so they can then help find a replacement, things like that. So if this has been really in motion since before Christmas, my question to you to kind of wrap up on the Bruce Boudreau side is, would you have fired Bruce Boudreau, and in those 5 weeks that you knew you were getting Rick Tocchet, would you have put an interim coach there? Or did you think in a slightly better way, kind of, it was nice to see the fans give Bruce Boudreau the send-off he deserved?
I think that's the nice part, is that he did get the send-off he deserved, and I don't really think you can slice it either way. And you know, anyone, like, it's a good situation. I mean, if you fire him early, then you're just putting in an interim that he knows he's only going to be there for, what, 4 or 5 weeks before Tocchet comes in. And then there's, you know, just no motivation, I think, on that coach's part or the player's part, because they know that, you know, why would we get used to this guy's coaching style or what he wants us to do? And we're just going to have to readjust all over again with a new guy. But also, you know, you're Bruce Boudreau, and you know this is coming for several weeks, and I mean, I can't imagine what it's like waking up every day and going to clock into work and knowing that the management above you doesn't want you there, they don't believe in what you're doing, and then you have to try to convince multiple different personalities on your team that you do know what you're doing and you have their best interest in mind. So it's a lose-lose situation. I guess this is the better part of it, because like you said, he did get that send-off with the fans. He got to, you know, address the media. I know they were, you know, those were emotional moments for him, but I feel like he maybe got the opportunity to kind of express his gratitude for not just his time in Vancouver, although it was brief, but I mean, just in general, like you said, he's been around for a while. He's a very respected figure in the NHL, and I truly hope that only the best is ahead of him, whether that's coaching again or whatever life has for him, because he's, you know, kept his chin up and I think handled this with class when other people in the situation maybe haven't done so as much.
Alrighty, enough about the past, Dane. Let's move on to the present and the future. As we've already mentioned, Rick Tocchet will take over behind the bench for the Vancouver Canucks. What can we expect from Rick Tocchet and this Vancouver Canucks team? Just really what is going to be going on behind the scenes a little bit for the Vancouver Canucks with this coaching change. We will talk about that in just a second. But first, today's episode is brought to you by FanDuel. The NFL playoffs are here. Yes, the playoffs are here. And we are really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On, because they are the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Plus, new customers, if you join today, get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed. guaranteed. Yes, guaranteed. When you place your first $5 bet, just sign up at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel has all your favorite bets, from the money line to the point spread to player props. They got it all over there. Plus, you can even combine bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. Dane, listen, I think we both know what Super Bowl we want, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. We all know it's a little Joe Shiesty and Brock Purdy action, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. It's not just me. And on FanDuel right now, the shocking thing is the San Francisco 49ers are the underdogs in their game against Eagles. Yes, I know the Eagles have had a very good season, but it's Brock Purdy season, baby. They are the underdogs on the money line at plus 120, where the Cincinnati Bengals are minus 126 favorites. Maybe, just maybe, you might get that Super Bowl we all want. It is all on an app that is safe, secure, and super easy to use. So football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Alrighty, Dane, as mentioned, a new regime is coming in Vancouver. Rick Tocchet taking over for Bruce Boudreau in Vancouver. Now, Rick Tocchet isn't a new coach in the NHL, has 6 previous years of experience in the NHL, 2 of which in Tampa Bay, 4 in Arizona. Now heading to Vancouver, last time he coached in the NHL, the 2020-2021 season. Now he does have a couple players on this Vancouver team that he has coached as well in the past, in Connor Garland, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, and Luke Shen. Dane, what do you think of the appointment of Rick Tocchet to the Vancouver Canucks?
It's an interesting situation, and I'll start by saying I don't necessarily know off the top of my head who else I would have chosen for this position, but just looking at what Tocchet had going for him in his career, given what he's going into, it's confusing to me because, you know, I talked about it, I mentioned it briefly in the last segment, that I don't know why anyone would be interested in this role right now, just given the toxicity that seems to be around the organization. The team isn't doing well. They're not going to go to the playoffs this year. And it's for any coaching candidate, but especially a guy like you said, who's on the TNT broadcast. That just seems like and maybe this is just me being a young, you know, up and coming sports podcaster / someone who maybe wants to pursue a career in broadcasting someday. That seems like a pretty sweet gig. You're on TV one night a week. You get to watch hockey, you know, 1 or 2 hockey games during that night. You're talking with, you know, other guys. Say what you want about the TNT broadcast. Some people love it, some people don't, but it seems like a pretty sweet gig. And I don't know what the payout is for that or the compensation, but I have to imagine it's a pretty sweet deal. And you know, throw that away for going to coach a team that has had trouble holding on to head coaches, hasn't really been competitive as of late, except for, you know, a run in the bubble, which we all know that everything that happened in the bubble is 100% legitimate, says the person who covers the Dallas Stars. It's just confusing to me. And I think that there's probably a little bit of an aspect of pride for coaching with Tocchet, because, I mean, he has that coaching experience, but only made the playoffs once. And again, that was in the bubble where they lost to Colorado in the first round. I mean, just not a ton of success on the coaching front. A 178-260 overall record, not terrible, but not great either. So it's just an interesting situation, to say the least, and one that I don't necessarily understand, but there's, I'm sure, a lot more going on behind the scenes that we may never know about on our side.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I was looking at the record for Tocchet. Only technically 2 seasons over 500 for him as a coach, and both of them with the record in overtime losses would take over the 500. So in all technicality, not really 500, one 500 season for Rick Tocchet. So now my question becomes, because you look at this Vancouver Canucks roster, and Really, it can be absolutely decimated by the time this time next year. It'll probably be the insanely different team. But who then go and who goes? And the reason why I'm kind of rambling on about this is because Rick Tocchet is a totally different environment than Bruce Boudreau. Now he comes in with a struggling, not only team, but struggling organization. And as I believe it was Elliot Friedman who said this, a coaching change doesn't make anything easier. It doesn't mean all of a sudden it's rainbows and sunshine and unfounding moons. You know, it's going to be even more difficult for these players under Rick Tocchet. And now with what I hope the Vancouver Canucks will do is identify these problems, have players who are no one's safe. Let's just put that out there. Nobody is safe. Even we talked about, is Elias Pettersson safe? No. He is a great asset to me to then help build this team up. And Kevin Bieksa was saying after his first year in Vancouver, I believe that was the transition from Mark Crawford to Alain Vigneault. And he was saying that Alain Vigneault took no prisoners. It was a full fire sale. Excuse me. Matt Sundin was being shown clips of what he was doing wrong, because that was when Sundin was acquired by the Vancouver Canucks. Crazy, I know. I believe Marcus Naslund was still a part of that team. I think he mentioned Marcus Naslund in that segment. And who was the last player that he mentioned that got healthy? Trevor Linden. He mentioned Trevor Linden got healthy scratched by Alain Vigneault, and that really sets kind of a new environment and personality in the city, or in the team, excuse me. That's what I'm kind of looking forward to in Vancouver, and I think there should be wholesale changes, including Elias Pettersson. Get him out of there. And not anything to do with Elias Pettersson as a player or as a person. I think, A, he deserves better, but B, he can go out there and get assets for the Vancouver Canucks that nobody else on that team, not a Brock Besser. Maybe you can put Quinn Hughes in there. You can probably put Quinn Hughes in there. Other than Quinn Hughes, nobody else. JT Miller, Bo Horvat, none of them can get a package like Elias Pettersson. What are you kind of expecting from the changes from Rick Tocchet and the Vancouver Canucks here?
Yeah, I think there's certainly a call for some pretty big changes, because I think a big part of, you know, the quickness to move off from a coach is a lack of production from what's on the roster. And I know Bo Horvat has been at the center of a ton of trade talks as of late. I feel like he's all but gone. It's just a matter of where he's going to go and when the move goes down as we approach the deadline in early March. But yeah, I mean, there's pieces on this team that we've seen the flashes. JT Miller was phenomenal last season. He's not been that this year. And there's been, I think, maybe some locker room issues here and there with him and some other players. But, you know, Andrei Kuzmenko, I know you've been pretty high on him here on this podcast. Quinn Hughes, an underrated defenseman in this league. Brock Besser, who we've seen been good. I mean, you look up and down this roster and there's some good pieces, and I think you can maybe afford to hold on to some of them, but especially these key guys, it might just be time to move on and see what you can get in return in terms of draft picks or, you know, other prospects that are in the league. And I think, you know, the benefit of missing the playoffs this year is you could get a pretty good draft pick, as we've harped on with some of these other, you know, lottery level teams, whether it's Connor Bedard or Adam Fantilli, Leo Carlson, Miechkov. I mean, you could go, you know, 5-6 players deep in the first round and get a quote unquote, you know, franchise player. And I think Vancouver could benefit greatly from picking up a player of that caliber, which they very well could, depending on where they finish the season. So, you know, as baffled as I am by the decision of Tocchet to take on this role, I think it'd be a great story and be a fun story to follow if they bring in this guy that doesn't have the greatest coaching history, but he takes a roster and builds it from the ground up. It maybe takes 3 or 4 years, and then they start competing for the playoffs. And then maybe they, you know, several years down the line, reach the pinnacle. And you know, that'd be an incredible story. It comes from, you know, maybe some not great beginning or a not great start. But I mean, if Tockett's going to take on this role, I just want to see someone succeed for the Vancouver Canucks, because I think that fan base showed who they are over the past few weeks with their support of Bruce Boudreau. And it just makes me want good things for that fan base and give them something to cheer about. So it might not be easy to do so this year or even next season, but I think if they, you know, just admit that they got to move some pieces and start kind of from ground zero, I think that there could be a potential for a bright future. It's just a matter of, you know, can the front office actually give Tockett what he needs to be successful and give him that support that NHL coaches really, you know, do need in order to, you know, get wins and get results in this league.
I 100% agree with you. I think the first thing for Rick Tockett is to identify the core of the Vancouver Canucks and identify the core of his Vancouver Canucks. I'm interested to see, you mentioned Kuzmenko. I love Kuzmenko, as you mentioned as well. I'm very interested to see how players like Kuzmenko, like Ilya Mikheyev, who came in during the offseason, are going to get dealt with. Now, Kuzmenko is going to be a UFA at the end of the year. He has been rumored in some trade talks already in his first year in the NHL. Can't be easy on a player like him, but he does have a very good attitude about him. He's also second on the Vancouver Canucks in goals for per 60 minutes at 5-on-5. So it's not like you're getting a pushover player if you are trading for a player like Andrei Kuzmenko. You mentioned their prospects as well. Well, you mentioned how they could get a good draft pick coming up here. I'm looking at some of their draft prospects, and man, in theory, you can get a good pick, but you have to be able to make that pick. Because there are some players in here, I don't know if any of these players are going to make the NHL. I mean, we've seen what happened with Vasily Podkolzin recently for them as well. They have player Jet Wu has been in the organization for a while. Nils Höglander is up and down for them as well. Just drafted Elias Pettersson. No, not that one. Carson Faulkner as well. Man. I hope they can do the right thing, because like you said, if they are able to turn it around, what a story that would be. But it's a matter of if. It's a matter of if. Speaking of ifs, let's move on from the Vancouver Canucks. Enough chatter about the Vancouver Canucks, as I'm sure you've heard a lot of it all over the place. But as mentioned earlier on today, the NHL trade deadline is weirdly fastly approaching, and deals that need to be made could also be approaching. So I have a little bit of a list to propose to Dane here to see who he thinks could get moved, where they will go, and if they are going to get moved at all. We will talk about that in just a second. But first, today's episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens. Our next partner has a product I use literally every day. I started using AG1 because I wanted something that bettered my gut health, optimized my immune system, and I wanted supplements that wasn't going to be basically taking a million different pills all day, every day. And that's exactly what I get with AG1. So, what is this stuff? With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all of the things. All of the things. Plus, it's lifestyle friendly. Whether you eat keto, paleo, dairy-free, or gluten-free, it all contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, all while still tasting great. I don't understand how they do it. Plus, it costs less than $3 a day. You are investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. I would know. I've been drinking my coffee all morning. Plus, Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews and is recommended by professional athletes. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That is it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NHL Network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NHL Network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. Speaking of picking up insurance, a lot of teams are going to be looking to pick up some insurance coming up here for the playoffs and coming up for the trade deadline. So I have a little bit of a list to propose to Dane here and a list of potential players who are on the market here. I'm going to throw those names to Dane. I have about 13. Don't get daunted by that number. They will fly by pretty quick. And if they don't, oh, well, we can skip through. But I have all these names to toss to Dane. He is going to give me either a yes or no. That person will get traded or won't get traded. And if they do get traded, where they will go get traded to. And if not, why he thinks they won't get traded. Get it? Got it? Good. Perfect. Dane, I got a little bit of an easy one for you. We were just talking about him. Well, his team, really. How about Bo Horvat? Do you think Bo Horvat gets dealt? Honestly, do you think we've seen Bo Horvat's last game already as a Vancouver Canuck? And where do you think Bo Horvat is heading?
I definitely think he's getting traded. I think he's a certainty at this point, just given everything that's gone on and you know, the demand for a player of his caliber. He has what? 30 goals on the season. I mean, playing incredibly well on a team that is not playing incredibly well. And as much as I hate to say it, I feel like he could very well end up going to a team in the Central Division. And I think that team could very well be the Colorado Avalanche. That's a team that needs some depth right now just because they have some injuries on the roster, but they're 1 point out of a playoff spot, right? Or yeah, 1 point out of a playoff spot, getting back in the top three in the Central Division. And I think Colorado could very easily, with Horvat or anybody, I think there's a good chance we could say Colorado for a few of the other players I imagine are on this list. And I mean, all you have to say is look at the guys we still have. And when we're healthy, guys aren't going to want to play us in the playoffs. You could be a part of that. And I think that's a pretty easy, you know, when Colorado talking to the player, I don't know what Colorado would have to give up. That's a different discussion, but I think Colorado seems like a decent candidate to land a guy like Bo Horvat, and he would go perfect, I think, somewhere on that top six and be, you know, just sugar, you know, icing on top of the cake of what's already a very explosive Avalanche offense when that team's at full health.
This name has already been tossed around basically since the start of the year, having quite the year already and potentially a career year for him. Erik Karlsson in San Jose, will he or won't he get traded?
I'm going to go no on this one purely because of the cap hit and the length. I mean, it's $11.5 million, if I'm not mistaken, and it goes through 2027. I mean, that's a lot to ask for it. So you're probably giving up, you know, at least two or three draft picks and probably, I mean, that I just feel like there's not any team as good as Carlson's been. I just don't see it happening. And especially with how weird the cap situation is across the league this season, I just don't see any contender looking to, you know, sell everything or sell, you know, sell the farm, as some people would say, to get a player of Carlson's caliber. As good as he's been, I'm going to say no, but I guess, you know, we've seen stranger things happen. It's just a lot of money and a lot of term left on that deal.
Yeah, no, you make a good point with the potential price for an older man, that's for sure. Let's stay with the San Jose Sharks, his teammate, Timo Meier.
I think Timo Meier will get traded. I think he has a good chance to get sent away. And I think I've heard a lot of rumors, and I'll bite on the rumors of some teams out east potentially shopping Timo Meier. I've heard teams like Boston maybe, and even New Jersey. And I think that's a good place that he could end up because New Jersey's having a, you know, surprisingly good season near the top of the Metro Division. And I think Meier would be a great guy to slot into that lineup alongside guys like Jack Hughes, Nico Hischier, Jesper Bratt. You add Timo Meier, and I think that team offensively, you know, takes the next step. Whereas in maybe, just maybe, you can sign some sort of extension, because Meier is going to be a restricted free agent at the end of this season. Only a $6 million cap hit right now. So I'll go out east for where Timo Meier lands, and I'll go ahead and say New Jersey.
I like it. I like it. Let's go to the back end. Jacob Chychrun.
Ooh, this is a tough one, because he's, I feel like his name has been thrown around since the summer, like when teams were making trades and free agents were being signed, and Chychrun is still a member of the Coyotes as of right now. Oh, I think he will get traded. I'll start there. And I think he'll get dealt. I like the Rangers. I think the Rangers could use maybe a little bit more defenseman depth. I'll go out east again to another Metro team. And I think a team like the Rangers could benefit a ton from his services. And also getting an opportunity to play alongside Adam Fox, I think that could work wonders for Chychrun's game, which is already pretty solid, but I think it could improve quite a bit.
I'm fully here for that. Let's move on to two Stanley Cup champions, and Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews will pair them together. Who do you think they'll get traded, and where do you think they'll go?
This one's tough, because if you had asked me at an earlier point in the season, I think I might have had different answers. I think Toews probably stays at the moment. Just the captaincy. I know both of them are going to be UFAs at the end of the season. $10.5 million cap hit. That's a lot to move for one player, let alone two. And I feel like if they have to hold on to one, it's probably Jonathan Toews. Patrick Kane, I might have said yes a few weeks ago, but I know that recently there's been some developments on some injuries and there's some health concerns with Patrick Kane. If he was fully healthy, I think he 100% gets moved to a Colorado or a New York or a team like that. But as of right now, I'll go ahead and say he doesn't get traded, purely because of health reasons mixed with $10.5 million cap hit. I mean, that'd be a lot to potentially sacrifice for a player that might not be 100% if you make that deal.
Which would look bad for the Chicago Blackhawks, considering the suitors they had in the summer. A couple of quick hits here for you. Those were the big main eventers here. But let's move on. Let's keep talking about the back end here. We have a couple on the back end. Let's talk John Klingberg from the Anaheim Ducks on a one-year, $7 million contract.
Yeah, Dallas, former Dallas star, John Klingberg, who wanted that money from Dallas and went and got it elsewhere for 1 year. And his team is now at the bottom of the league. But I think he 100% gets moved. You know, that's a pretty big cap hit to take, $7 million. But I think Klingberg has shown in Dallas that he still has a little bit left in the tank. And I think maybe his lack of production, more a testament to the team he's on rather than himself. And I think he gets moved. I think he could very well get moved to a team like the Toronto Maple Leafs, who have some defenseman depth issues at the moment. Quite a few injuries racked up on the blue line for them. And I think that they could benefit from having a guy like Klingberg, who has a good amount of NHL experience, but also a decent amount of playoff experience as well. That's a guy that I think could be a huge addition to the ice and the locker room for any team. But I'll go Toronto for John Klingberg.
I really like that one. Alrighty, a couple of veterans coming up here. Matt Dumba from the Minnesota Wild.
Matt, I've heard that name thrown around as of late, and I'll go ahead and say he doesn't get moved. I just don't see it happening. I feel like Minnesota might make some moves at the deadline to try to improve their team, and maybe Dumba's a part of that, and maybe he isn't. Maybe they give up a draft pick or two or some prospects, but I think Dumba will stay in Minnesota, just because they seem to have a pretty good thing going. I know they've been a little bit of an up and down team this season, but I think as of right now, if it's not broke, don't fix too much.
Fair enough. Matthias Ekholm, new Nashville Predators.
I think he could get moved, and I can't give you a clear answer of where, but I feel like he could, just for the sake of Nashville trying to improve their roster, because they're very much still in the playoff race at 50 points. I mean, only 5 points behind the Calgary Flames. So I'll say yes, he gets traded. It's hard for me to give you an exact location, but I feel like he could very well get moved. I think that could be a big piece for the Preds as they look to try to make some sort of roster adjustment to try to push themselves into a playoff spot.
Alrighty, a couple forwards here to wrap up. The first one, back to Vancouver, Brock Besser.
Besser's tough because I know he's been through a lot off the ice as of late. And so there's, you know, the, well, maybe he doesn't need too much to change right now, but also I think as a player, he could benefit from a change of scenery. But I think purely from the just everything that's gone on in Vancouver, I'll go ahead and say no for now, because I feel like Rick Tocchet might just want to see what he has. I know we just talked about tearing everything down, but I think he would maybe be doing himself a disservice just to evaluate and see which players he clicks with, because maybe he and Brock Besser connect and form a great bond, and that's a key player for Tocchet, you know, several years down the line. So I'll go ahead and say no for now, but I wouldn't necessarily be shocked if he does get moved.
I'm fully behind that. Two more quick ones for you. The first one is a player that we've already talked about in the past, Ryan O'Reilly.
Ooh, this is another good one. This is another captain in on a Central Division team. Man, and St. Louis, I think they could benefit from moving him just because they feel like they're kind of at the changing of the guard of guys like O'Reilly and Tarasenko getting up there in age, dealing with some injuries, and you have, you know, Kyrou and Robert Thomas kind of on their way in as the faces of the franchise. I think purely on injury status, though, I think O'Reilly stays just because I can't remember now what the injury was, but we just talked about it a few weeks ago. It seems like he'll be out for a while, and I just, even if he does come back fully healthy, whatever team would acquire him, maybe you just don't quite know what you're getting from Ryan O'Reilly on the ice.
I can completely get behind that as well. The final one as well, this one may be a little more personal for me, but Jesse Puljujärvi.
I think there's a good chance he does get traded, and I know he's been a guy who's potentially been linked to my team in Dallas. So I'll just for fun, I'll throw that out there, that he might could find himself in Dallas by the end of the trade deadline, and I think that could be interesting because I think Dallas has some potential suitors to send back to Edmonton, some guys that also maybe need a change of scenery, guys potentially like Denis Gurianov. Maybe a one for one and maybe a pick thrown in here or there. I think it could be interesting. So I'll go ahead just for fun with it being the last guy. Jesse Puljujärvi goes to Dallas.
I love it. Hey, the Edmonton Oilers specialize in one for ones, and the Edmonton Oilers are having their pro scout meeting. So maybe Denis Gurianov is on their list. Either way, thank you so much for putting up with my long list of players here. The trade deadline is my favorite time of the year. So, get mad, get over it. Either way, let's wrap up there. Dane, your faceless face today, where can everybody find you on social media and Locked On Stars?
Yeah, they can find Locked On Stars on their favorite podcasting platform and on YouTube, where I promise the webcam will be working. And hopefully by this time next week, it'll be working on this show as well. But you can find us wherever you get your podcast and on YouTube, on social media, at Locked On Stars on Instagram and Twitter. And myself on Twitter at Dane_Lewis. And I'm right there with you, Brett. This is an exciting time of year, a trade deadline. I mean, it's almost just as exciting, I think, as when free agency opens in the summer. There's just that angst that builds up, and then that first move gets made. And then It's just an onslaught of this guy's getting traded, this guy's getting moved, and a lot of unexpected moves at times. So I'm excited for it and ready to cover it all.
Somebody make a move already. Somebody make a move. I'm ready to talk about trades. It seemed like the start of the season, the Edmonton Oilers were always in it. Now we're here and no moves. Either way, speaking of the Edmonton Oilers, you can find me at the host of Locked On Oilers. You can find me on social media at The Real Holden 40. That is everywhere on social media. I think even my Club Penguin account was that. Either way, you don't care about me. You care about the Oilers, and you can find Locked On Oilers on Twitter at Locked On Oilers or on YouTube as well. If you haven't already subscribed, what are you doing? We have a lot of fun here and a lot of different headbands. In fact, this is the same headband I wore last night. Either way, you can find us at Locked On Oilers on YouTube there. Thank you so much for joining us today. By the way, a lot of chatter around Locked On Canucks or around the Vancouver Canucks. You can find Locked On Canucks with the host, Justin Pooney. What a time he is having, I am sure. Let's wrap it up there, folks. Thank you so much for having this day with us. And until next week, stay safe.